As Brother Tim mentioned to you, the text for my lesson this morning is taken from the Old Testament in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6, which I've posted on the board so that you may see it. One single verse from the prophet Isaiah, where we will focus our attention today, chapter 9 and verse 6. We sing about the one who has a name above all names. And every Christian appreciates every time he reads the name of Jesus Christ. And in this passage, we are given several. Prophet Isaiah wrote these words, hundreds of words, before Christ was even born. But he projected the birth of Christ and told us some information about the life of Christ and about his sacrificial death in the book that bears Isaiah's name. Notice that in this passage, Isaiah points out and speaks about a child who is born, but also a son who is given. I think that's a pretty interesting way to express through the divine Holy Spirit what God wanted to convey about His Son. The Son was not born, for He has always been. He has always existed. He is eternal. The Son is a gift to men, so He is given. But at the same time, His Messiah would take on the form of a human being. And so it could be rightly said that a child is born. And I think that's quite interesting from a passage like this, describing Him in this very unique way, calling our attention to the spiritual plan of God. The Bible certainly contains many names of the Lord Jesus Christ, many of the Messiah, and a passage like Isaiah speaks of the Son and speaks of events as if they had already occurred. And that's God giving His assurance that His Word is true. Recall that in the ancient world, a person's name meant something very unique about that person. It was a descriptive name. It was a reflection of all that a person was. Everything of his character, everything of his qualities, whether good or bad, whether weak or strong, the person's name reflected really who he was. It's interesting to note here in thinking about this passage that in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the mother names the child the Messiah that would come into the world. But here, Jehovah God names him, as God only can designate names which reflect the child's very character and being accurately and rightly. Isaiah does not mean to say that the child will actually wear these names, that he would be called that by his classmates at school. He doesn't mean that's his name in that sort of way. But these names are descriptive of who he is, of what he is. And of course, only Jesus himself fully knows all that his name implies. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, and that's where we want to focus our attention this morning. We've talked about peace and the Lord of peace, the giver of peace, the Prince of peace in a recent lesson. We've talked about the fact that He is eternal many times in our Bible classes, that He is divine, that He is mighty God in the flesh. And now I'd like for us to think together about Christ being the Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful describes this particular person as the marvel of the ages, we might say. The full revelation of the Father. He has mighty power over sin and over Satan. He will conquer Satan and He will conquer death. He has this mighty power, and His mission is one of buying back people who are lost, redeeming the lost, saving the lost. It's an expression of infinite love. It's the summation of all spiritual and moral truth. It's found in Him. The wonder of His person is unique in itself. The wonder of His work is unique in itself. And it will startle many nations, as Isaiah wrote in chapter 52 and verse 15. He excites awe in the heart of the honest beholder. People came to see Jesus as king over His kingdom and director over His spiritual war of conquest. He is the ultimate counselor for those who serve Him. In Him are summed up all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians in chapter 2 and verse 3. He's the true counselor in whom any can find great words of wisdom and power by which we can guide our lives and solve the problems of life and understand, by understanding reality and truth, the principles of life itself, how precious life is, and how good life is when we live as servants of God. A counselor is a person who gives advice. He helps people by his advice. He guides people by his advice. He helps people understand the best course of action through all the trials of life and all the difficulties that they may face. The counselor leads. And the counselor defends someone. But you and I must be very careful in thinking about to whom we must turn to be a counselor for us in life. The story is told of two bums sitting together on a park bench, and one of them said to the other, "I'm a man who never took advice from anybody." And the other one said, "Shake my hand, old buddy, for I'm a person who took everybody's advice." You must choose the right counselor in order to have a successful and happy life. The problem with many people is that they will not listen to wise words, words of wisdom. For others, they're listening to the wrong voices, not voices of good wisdom. And many times they heed too many voices. Today we're going to consider listening to and following the wonderful counselor. So let's contrast the efforts of an earthly counselor with that of a heavenly counselor as we think about our lesson this morning. And let us make this observation before we get into the meat of the lesson. Counselors are good for people. And it's good when people can turn to trustworthy and reliable counselors to help them through the difficulties and trials of life. We're not disparaging that sort of work. We are suggesting that we must be very careful if we turn to a professional counselor, that we turn to one who is guided by the Scriptures and will advise us how to solve our difficulties using the very Word of God. That's what we're advocating today. So this message is not meant to demean or to belittle human counselors, but rather it is to reveal the superiority of the great counselor sent from heaven to bless all of mankind. First point we want to make is this. The earthly counselor has to ask you and get information from you in order to help you with what you need. The wonderful counselor of heaven already knows what you need, and he doesn't have to ask. Counselor must have knowledge of a person that he's seeking to help. Counselors always begin by asking people questions, by being silent and letting them talk so that he can understand their present situation and life experiences that exist that are having some kind of impact upon them in order for him to be effective in helping them. But Christ, the Son who was given, the child who was born, needs no introduction to your needs. He already knows your needs. He knows you wholly. He knows you completely. He knows your talents. He knows your gifts. He knows your sins. He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything about you. He knows your history. He knows all about you. The earthly counselor has to ask to find out. The wonderful counselor knows what you need before you ask. Notice what Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples about the subject of prayer and about some of the abuses of prayer that he saw in his day, that he warned his disciples to stay away from. And then he says, do not be like them. Do not be like the ones who abuse this and do things in a wrong way when they're praying to God, such as using meaningless repetition, thinking that they may be heard because of their many words. Jesus said, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So this wonderful counselor knows. If the Father knows, Jesus knows, doesn't He? Now think about what He knows about us. He knows everything that has to do with our past. He knows why we're seeking a counselor. He knows the trials we're undergoing in life. He knows the weight that we carry on our shoulders that causes us to cry out for help. He knows our need of counseling. Our counseling assumes and presupposes, of course, that we have a past. But the Lord knows our past and He knows every minute of it. He's the wonderful counselor because He has all the knowledge. He has all of our experiences. He sees them clearly. Do you think such a person would be able to help us efficiently and sufficiently by knowing our past? I certainly think that He would. He knows the hidden hurt of your past. He knows the trials you have been through in life. He knows how you've handled every trial that you've been through, right or wrong. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He knows what weaknesses were crushed under the difficulties that you endured. And He knows what skills were sharpened when you went through difficulties. He knows everything about your past experiences. And not only that, He knows everything about your present condition and everything about what is going on right now. You or I may speak to a family member or someone may speak to us and they may say, you just don't understand what I'm going through. But that's not the case with the wonderful counselor. He knows everything we're going through. He knows everything you're going through. He knows about your present. He knows what challenges you face right now. He knows how you are pressured. He knows what those pressures are. He knows what you're going through. The trials, the difficulties, the problems, your present temptations, your present trials. He knows every minute what perhaps no other soul on earth knows about you. He knows it. And He's wonderful in His knowledge. He knows about our future. No one can tell us about our future. No person can tell us about our future. No palm reader can tell us. No person looking into a crystal ball, no matter how much they spend on advertising, can tell us about our future. But the wonderful counselor knows everything there is to know about our future. The Lord sees what is ahead of us. He sees everything at all times. Never is he shackled by time. He alone can do this. So the earthly counselor has to ask us for information in order to help us. But the wonderful counselor knows everything there is to know about us already. And so wouldn't you think that that would be a good basis upon which we would choose who to accept into our life as a counselor to help us, to defend us, to advocate for us in this life? I would. Secondly, the earthly counselor wants you to talk to him and give him information because he hopes that he can help you. And that's a good thing. But the wonderful counselor knows already that he can help you. He knows everything there is to know about you, and he knows he can help you. And such a person with that kind of knowledge and great wisdom certainly can. The elders of the congregation are willing and available to be counselors to people, to point people to the holy word of God. Even in dealing with difficult issues, the elders' desire is to give some practical or some helpful or some biblical advice. And if my counsel or if that of other people's counsel really helped, we cannot be 100% sure all of the time. But the wonderful counselor never searches for the right answers. He is the right answer. He is the one. And that's why godly elders offer scriptural help for people who are struggling. He is the answer. There are those who have tried him, and they testify of him in John 6, beginning in verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, his closest disciples, recall, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Do you think Peter recognized at that point, this is the wonderful counselor, and if you have the wonderful counselor, you don't need anyone else? He is the wonderful counselor. What a great statement Peter made that day. Where can you go to get an answer concerning the evil that's in our world today? To whom can you turn for truth regarding your own heart? To whom can you turn for help in getting rid of the guilt that plagues your heart and mind over something that you said or something that you did? Where do you go to find real love, sacrificial love, one who loves you this way? Jesus is the answer every time. Just as Simon Peter said, he has the words of eternal life and can handle every situation that you and I face in this life. Those who know him tell of his love and his leadership in their lives. He is the only one whose words you and I need to hear. The wonderful counselor. And secondly, to those who have not tried him, they are invited to do so. In Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. You see the invitation? And I will give you rest. This is what the wonderful counselor does. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. That's an eternal principle from this wonderful counselor. He calls us to come to him because he longs to save us and he longs to lead us and he longs to bless us that we may be everything He designed us to be. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. And no matter that He has already 99 sheep who are safely in the fold, He cares for the one who is lost and hurting. This is the wonderful counselor. He came into this world a long time ago to reveal the love of God for mankind. And now He calls all people to come to Him. All people. No matter what situation they are in. No matter their troubled souls. He calls them all. And thirdly, those who have turned away from Him certainly regret their decision. In Isaiah chapter 48, beginning in verse 17, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. That sounds like a wonderful counselor, doesn't it? The Lord God is saying this to His people, His apostate people. Notice in the very next verse, in verse 18, if only you had paid attention to my commandments. Boy, that sounds like a parent to a child, doesn't it? If only you had listened to what I told you, you wouldn't be in this mess that you're in right now. How many times have we said something like that to our children? And here is God saying that to His people. If only you had listened to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You would have had peace like a river, not disaster. You would have had something sure and steadfast just like the waves of the sea that continue to roll in. Your righteousness would be fruitful and it would continue on if only you had listened to my commandments. If only you had paid attention. In Psalm 119, verse 172, let my tongue sing of your word, for all of your commandments are righteousness. You see what the psalmist appreciated there enough to write that down and leave it for posterity? Enough so that that becomes a part of the very word of God uttered by heaven and presented to man. If only they had listened to Him, they would have found peace like a river. Their yearnings would have been fulfilled, and the fruits of their righteousness would have been as constant as the waves of the sea. He is the only one who can teach you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Now perhaps you have gone your own way in this life, and you have made your own decisions, and you've decided for yourself, and you've not listened to the wisdom of the counselor. And you know best how to live your life, and you're doing it your way. You're going to regret that one day if you don't already. That's the message of this. Maybe you've gone your own way in life, and maybe even now you regret it. Will you return to the wonderful counselor today? He's calling you. Thirdly, the earthly counselor tries to give you an appointment. Well, let me see. I'm kind of busy right now. My schedule is almost full. But in about 2 weeks, I have a time opened at 1:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday. And we accept that as normal things in life, right? But now what about this wonderful counselor? He's always available. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. His ears are open to our prayers, our supplications. He knows everything about us. He's listening for us. Do not wait till you're in trouble. He knows our troubles already. And He does not make us wait when we are in trouble, when we feel swamped, when we don't know if we can make it through the next day. He's available to us today. Right now. Psalm 121, verses 2 through 4. He's not asleep. Everyone around us may be asleep. We may need Him in the middle of the night. He's always awake. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always attentive to our needs. When Simon Peter was sinking in the water, he prayed, "Lord, save me." And the Lord put out His hand and saved him from being swallowed up by the waters of the Sea of Galilee. Many believe that they've called on the Lord and the Lord just hasn't answered, just hasn't heard what is on their heart. Maybe He's not listening, but you're wrong about that. If that's what you are thinking, you are not correct. The Lord hears everything that is on your heart, and He knows it. He told us to call on Him and that He would hear us. And of course, we must go to Him in a proper manner. But let me tell you three requests that our wonderful counselor will hear and give answer to. Just picking out three. The first one is, request for conversion. Change me. Help me. Mold me into what You want me to be. Renew my mind. Renew my thinking. Help me to think right so I will act right. I want to belong to You. The Lord is open to that. Our request for conversion, would you like to be saved from the consequences of your sin? The Lord can do it. But He's not going to treat you like a robot and automatically operate on you against your will. He will not do that. Would you like to really know God? Would you like to really know the wonderful counselor? Many people have a deep down longing for something in life, and they flitter around through life every day not knowing what it is. What is it that eats at me? What is it that I push out of my mind? What is it about me where I feel like I'm lost? I'm missing something. Something's not right. I can't figure out what it is. People can't figure it out by themselves. People need the wonderful counselor to tell them what the problem is and provide a solution for the problem. And that is our wonderful counselor. Have you turned to Jesus Christ to redeem you? To buy you back? To restore what is missing? In Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul wrote to these Christians, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." In verse 13, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Have you called on the Lord? The wonderful counselor is always available to save those who turn to Him in faith, those whose hearts have been touched with conviction of sin and the assurance of the salvation that He provides. Isaiah 59 in verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is His ear so dull that it cannot hear." Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to be converted to God and His way? He's there for you. Secondly, what God will hear and answer, the wonderful counselor will request for cleansing. And don't we all need that? The alien sinner who has never confessed Christ, never shown that he believes in Christ, needs cleansing. He's headed for an eternity that he's going to wish he never experienced if he doesn't turn around. And what about you and I? In 1 John 1 and verse 9, we're told that He is faithful and just to forgive those who confess their sins to Him. Tell the truth to him. He knows it already. He will help you. He will cleanse you from the sin that so easily besets us. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. The wonderful counselor will act upon your request to be clean. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The disciple whom Jesus loved wrote those words. 1 John 1 and verse 9. And in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, Paul told the Christians in Corinth, therefore having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we can do that by help from the wonderful counselor. And he will hear and answer, thirdly, our request for peace. Our request for calmness. Consider what prayer and supplication will accomplish to the wonderful counselor in our hour of trouble, in our hour of anxiety. What will he do? Paul told us in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, don't be anxious for a single thing. Don't be. On what basis could he give that advice to people? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. People are tugged one way by hope, and they're dragged the other way by fear and anxiety. What is the solution? What is the answer from the wonderful counselor? Consider how long this passage has been in God's book, and how many of God's children have opened God's book and read this passage and been encouraged by it. Prayer and supplication to God and His peace that no man can explain, that man may not be able to understand fully. His peace will be yours. Don't be anxious. Give it to God. Turn it over to God. Pray to God about it. Let your supplications be known to the one who cares for you and loves you. And remember to be thankful. Consider how long this passage has been a great encouragement to God's people. And those that enjoy the peace of God cannot fully express what it means to have it. And those who don't have it are perplexed about the whole thing. How do you get that? It comes from the wonderful counselor. Many cannot understand how Christians have the same problems that they have, but they have peace. Christians have peace. And it makes people wonder, where did I mess up? The wonderful counselor brings calm in the midst of the storm, and he gives songs in the night. And that's the counselor that you and I should turn to. And then finally, and briefly, the earthly counselor charges a fee for his services. What about the wonderful counselor? He's already paid the price, and he paid it with his blood. As Brother Greg read from the scriptures and showed us obviously the facts of that case, the professional counselor certainly charges fees for services rendered, and admittedly there are times when such services are needed by individuals. Certainly those who are trained in the field of counseling provide a valuable service many times. However, our Lord offers us a service which only He can provide, and which no man has the fee to be able to pay. What is due for the blessings received and that He can provide? We violated the law of God, but it was Jesus who died in our place. The scriptures tell us in Colossians 1, beginning in verse 13, He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And in verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Oh, those are powerful words, aren't they? Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Peace through the blood of his cross. The wonderful counselor paid an incredible price to provide his services for all mankind. Boy, if we just think about that one thing, that'd be a great thing to occupy our thoughts today, won't it? I thank you so much for listening about the wonderful counselor. Now's the time to come to the wonderful counselor. In him you will find peace and strength and direction and eternal salvation. Only Jesus can break the enslaving chains of Satan and of sin. He alone can speak peace to the human heart. He alone is the one who is efficient and powerful to strengthen the weak and to give life to those who are spiritually dead. And if you need this wonderful counselor in your life today, we ask you to do nothing different, to omit nothing, to add nothing to what he has commanded through his gospel that we must do in order to come into a relationship with him. We must hear the word of God. Hearing it, we will come to believe that Jesus is God's very Son, the one who died for us, and the one who was raised from the dead, the one who sits at the right hand of God right now and knows everything there is to know about us. Do you believe in him? Will you be willing to repent of the sins in your life as defined by the Holy Scripture? The Scriptures tell us what sin is. Will you confess Christ before men? Will you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins? If you will, in that condition, you will be raised up out of the water to walk in a new life. And the wonderful counselor will be yours. And you can call upon him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's there for you. Is that your desire today? If it is, please come to the front and tell me about it. And we will assist you while together we all stand and encourage you by singing the song selected, number 277.